Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan and I'm joined each week by the Coach K, Ken Schultheis. Coach, weather's picking up, looking like it's a better forecast for the Super Bowl. Do you have any big plans for the Super Bowl?
Well, no, regardless of what your plans are, it's always a big plan for the Super Bowl. I'd like to be in New York or New Jersey. Either way, they love Coach K. Coach K speaks the truth, right? And right then and there, Joe, it just makes it for a great show right then and there.
Do you think that those drunk fools that we have doing that promo, do you think they're attending the game or not?
I think they're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show right now, and I don't think they're very happy about what you just said about them. But it doesn't shock me, folks, because you got to understand, Joe just doesn't like when people say Coach K speaks the truth and leave Joe out. But that's okay. We are excited. It is Super Bowl weekend, and the Coach K and Joe Show gets to be the preview to the Super Bowl. But we've got a lot of other stuff going on, Joe. You know, I was in Jasper, Indiana, of course, for our listeners who are outside of the southern part of the state or the tri-state area. Our show is broadcast out of the southern part of Indiana in the Midwest, in Jasper and Evansville, Indiana. And I made my way back up to Jasper to watch a girls' high school basketball game in the beautiful Jasper Basketball Arena. And truly it is a $12 million facility that just went up. It's in its first year, its infancy, and it's a beautiful place. Went up to watch a young lady who plays for Princeton High School in Princeton, Indiana, also in the southern part of the state. Her name is Jackie Young, and if you've listened to the show over the past couple months, you know that we've talked a little bit about a young lady out of Mount Carmel High School in Mount Carmel, Illinois, named Tyra Buss. By the way, she had 41 last night, I believe, and she had 61 again a week or so ago. But Jackie Young is one of the not just the top players in the state of Indiana, but she's also one of the top players in the nation, and she's only a sophomore. So I went up to watch Princeton play against Jasper High School, and Jasper's girls team is coming along nicely under the direction of Coach Ryan Ernie. Ryan Ernie played high school basketball for me at Jasper on the boys team, and he's doing a great job with that girls program. He had the right game plan. He called the timeouts at the right time. He did everything he needed to do to stay within a few possessions in that game. A couple shots didn't fall. Jackie Young, great on the offensive boards for her own rebounds on missed shots. She went right back up and got the ball and put it back in. It was at the end. Princeton was missing their sophomore starting center. They're a young team. Jackie Young, of course, is only a sophomore. Too much Jackie Young at the end. And they continue, Princeton girls team continues undefeated on the season. I think they went to 19-0 after last night's win. They won the conference championship. And Jackie Young is only a sophomore. She didn't have a great game, folks. But she's a tall, lean girl. She can see over the defense. She's got great vision for passing. She needs to improve her ball handling with both hands. She needs to get a little bit more skillful in the post, but she can shoot it, she can handle it, and she can flat pass it. And she has taken her number one ranked 3A team in the state of Indiana as far as girls basketball is concerned. And I got to go up and spend some time with Joe in person and talk with Rick Begley and the doctor, Carrie Schneider, and Angi and Joe, your brother, the head golf coach at Jasper, Steve Milligan, who is going to be getting a new NEI here soon, and just a lot of fun. Bob Kidwell, a lot of different people, Andy Novel, of course, the AD. And, Joe, it was a good game. I think Ryan Ernie's team is playing well. The girls' sectional draw is coming up this weekend, I believe. And Joe, we need to make sure that we get Ryan on the show next week after the girls' draw and talk a little girls' IHSA basketball tournament.
Well, you know, they are peaking at the right time. I mean, I think before last night they'd won 8 in a row, maybe 10 out of their last 12. So, I mean, you know, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And then, you know, they're playing really well right now.
Yeah, and Jackie Young had a quiet 28 point. And, you know, I said she didn't play a great game or didn't play extremely well. She was 8 from 8 from the line. She's just a terrific free throw shooter. And for any of you young players or parents of young players, they need to get out there and work on those free throws. I mean, I see it in the pro game. I see it in the college game. Butler's lost some games this year. IU, different teams, they're not hitting their free throws in critical situations. It's exactly what they call it, a free throw, but it takes a little skill. It takes a little mental toughness, and it absolutely takes practice and repetition. And Jackie Young was 8 for 8. She had 9 field goals, 28 points in their 53-43 win over Jasper. Again, just a little bit about girls' high school basketball. There's some outstanding basketball being played in the state of Indiana, in the state of Illinois, in the state of Kentucky when it comes to girls' basketball. And obviously girls' college basketball is also pretty solid. And you've always got UConn up the top, but you've got Notre Dame and Purdue in Indiana, and also IU's coming on as a team as well. So a lot of stuff. Joe, one of the things I wanted to mention, I heard this on one of the Mothership shows this morning. The mayor of New Jersey, of the city in New Jersey, where the Giants Stadium is and the Super Bowl will be played, the NFL, believe it or not, the NFL did not give or at least offer the mayor of that city any tickets to the Super Bowl game. I mean,
oh, wow.
His city's hosting it. I'm sure that if the commissioner who was on this particular show a couple days earlier, if they would have known about it, they would have grilled him on that. And I think the NFL commissioner does a great job. But for someone in the setup of the Super Bowl and public relations and dealing with the community that you're going to have the Super Bowl in, fails to at least recognize the mayor, and even if he ends up having to pay, offering him some tickets, boy, somebody dropped the ball on that one. But, believe it or not, as many Indiana fans are, we almost believe that this is our Super Bowl because of our close connection to number 18, Peyton Manning. We almost have him and the Broncos as our team, so to speak, our default Colts team. Jim Irsay, or Irsay, however you want to call it, the owner of the Colts, heard about it and offered the mayor of this New Jersey city some seats, some tickets to seats in his suite at the Super Bowl. So I'm sure Jim is there and has mentally created in his mind that Peyton Manning is still his quarterback and he's playing for a Super Bowl. Although luck would have it, he is not. The Broncos have Peyton Manning. And guys, I am a luck fan, and I'm sure luck will bring luck to the Colts at some point with the Super Bowl. But it is interesting that Jim Irsay gets in the news Super Bowl week, not for his quarterback that he let go. And, you know, there was some interesting news, Joe, and I'm sorry I'm not letting you get a word in edgewise, but that's normal. It was reported as well by Bill Polian that Peyton Manning never wanted to leave the Colts. I think there are a lot of people out there that believe that Peyton Manning was okay. He understood, yeah, we need to cut ties. That was not the case. Peyton Manning did not want to go. In the end, he accepted it, with the class that you accept it with. But I'll tell you what, that's an emotional ride when you're cut loose from some place you want to be. I've been there. Believe me, I've been there. And I know I probably in time have done that to others unknowingly, but that's an emotional roller coaster. And I'm not as good about getting back from the bottom to the top as Peyton Manning was. He jumped right back in there, and John Elway and the Broncos, of course, helped him to do that. But I thought that was interesting that Jim Irsay is in the news for the gesture he did. But can you believe that the NFL would not even offer the mayor, the city government of that community hosting the Super Bowl, a ticket, Joe?
You'd think he'd want as much goodwill from the mayor as possible because, you know, he can make things a lot easier for you. I mean, I'm sure he would anyways, being a professional politician. But still, it does not seem right that he would do that.
What if the snow would have began falling and the NFL said, hey, can you get your snow removal equipment out here? And they were just a little slow getting there, Joe, just a little slow getting there because they weren't going to the game and having tickets. They found out that the mayor didn't have any tickets because he was on StubHub trying to buy some. He was on StubHub trying to buy some Super Bowl tickets, and that's when it got reported that he had not been offered any. So, interesting, I thought.
Oh, I had not heard that, and I guess you just assume that, you know, the officials of the host town are going to be taken care of, and apparently the NFL didn't think about it. Are they trying to backtrack now, you know?
Well, folks, before we go to our first break, I want to remind you of who we've got coming up. We're going to talk a little Super Bowl again, more of the game when we come back after our first break. A little later in the first hour, we've got Tom Dienert of the Big Ten Network. We're going to talk about unions organizing in college football. You may have heard the talk, but that's coming out of one of the teams in the Big Ten, Northwestern. We'll also talk a little basketball in the Big Ten with Tom Dienert. Hey, how about Penn State, Nebraska, and Northwestern? I mean, my gosh, are we talking flip-flop, Wisconsin losing, Ohio State losing, Michigan State losing? Michigan still hanging tough. I'm sure Josh Houchen's all excited about that. But Nebraska, Northwestern, and Penn State, they're looking like the Big Ten's top teams. We'll talk a little bit about them with Tom. We'll have the mailbag to finish up the first hour. Then we'll have Kyle Nettenrip, Indy Star, high school reporter. He's all over it, not just game stories, but feature articles. He does a great job at the pulse of high school basketball and sports in Indianapolis with Kyle Nettenrip of the Indianapolis Star. Then we'll talk a mailbag, rant a little bit, talk some more high school, college hoops. And we'll also, Joe and I will spend a little time talking about LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and the ever-mellow Carmelo Anthony of the Nets and where things are going. You can call the show at 773-897-6325. That's 773-897-6325. And if you want to get on and talk to the coach or Joe, you can do that. You can also tweet us. Tweet us, folks, at Coach K and Joe, at Coach K and Joe, or text me directly, 812-480-9449. If you text me, I promise we'll talk about your text, good, bad, or ugly, as long as it's not indecent. We're going to go to our first break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little Super Bowl, Broncos, Seahawks, Manning, Sherman, or is it more the offensive and defensive line of these teams that are going to decide this Super Bowl game? You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar. You know there's a reason why Ubelar sells so many vehicles. No call before midnight, no dock fees, just saving you money the right way, day in and day out. So when we say you can lease a new cruise for $159 per month, it's not a bait and switch, it's $159 per month with $2,000 down. Or if you have a GM card bonus earnings, nothing down. It's well worth your time to make the trip to Jasper. Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac, where customers send their friends for all the right reasons since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is Tyler Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and I'm assuming we're back. Joe, I just got a text from someone. They said, how tall is Jackie Young for Princeton? She is a 6 foot junior or 6 foot sophomore. She is a 6 foot sophomore. So, you know, 6 foot girls high school basketball sophomore. She may grow a little bit more, may not, but of course she will fill out physically quite a player. Well, Joe, we're back and we're going to talk a little bit about Super Bowl. And before we went on the show, Joe, you and I just chatted a little bit about the Super Bowl, and folks, we're not going to spend a lot of time shredding over and over what we hear most of the time on Fox or on the Mothership or on Mike and Mike, whatever they are. Where is Peyton Manning's legacy in this Super Bowl? Is he the greatest quarterback ever if he wins? Is he in the top five if he doesn't? Is it better to win all your Super Bowls or just be in more? We're not going to do that. Folks, you've heard it over and over. We're going to talk a little bit about the game because that's really what's going to matter on Sunday. Joe, you brought up some interesting points. You said a lot of people have been talking about, you know, is it going to be the defensive backfield of the Seahawks? Is it going to be Peyton Manning shredding the defense for all these points and yards? And I think you and I both kind of considered that the battle might be up between the offensive and defensive lines. The offensive line of the Broncos, the defensive line of the Seahawks.
Yeah, you know, that's the way football is. If you don't have it up front, it doesn't matter who you have at quarterback. He's not going to be able to do his job. Case in point, Purdue this year, offense and defensive lines, both very, very poor. And, you know, it showed on the field. But this is professional football, and they've got people on both sides of the field. And, you said no talking heads, but most of the talking heads are talking that it may not be up to how good that Peyton plays. It's going to be up to the Seattle defense whether they win or lose. But, you know, when you think about it, though, don't those two correlate? You know?
I mean, I agree with you, Joe. And I think another thing that people need to remember, when we talk about the offensive line of the Broncos or the defensive line of the Seahawks, we're talking about a defensive line that needs to not just put pressure on Peyton Manning to try to get him quick throws. Peyton Manning likes to do quick throws. You know, Richard Sherman talked about, you know, he throws a lot of duck passes, you know, where they're wobbling and they're not quite the tight spirals. But it doesn't matter because he gets rid of the ball so quickly that, and his timing with his receivers. I mean, four receivers with 10 or more touchdowns. And don't forget, the Broncos have not just normal receivers. They have big, strong, athletic receivers. One's a former college basketball player. And then they got a very experienced, smart receiver in Welker for passes underneath. But I think the key is the Seahawk defense putting pressure on Peyton to the point of causing him to get out of the pocket, to have to hold the ball a little bit longer. I mean, I think that the defensive backfield of the Seahawks, Joe, they're going to cause Peyton some problems, especially if he can't get rid of the ball in the route system that he wants. And that means he's releasing the ball to the receivers before the receivers are where they're going to be. That's what great timing is when you're talking about Peyton Manning. Or, you know, he's not going to be the Jay Cutler, the receiver's there, and now Jay Cutler's going to try to needle that thing in between the defense. Peyton Manning's about getting the ball where it's supposed to be as the receiver is getting there and the defender hasn't gotten there yet. So for Seattle to put some pressure on Peyton Manning's offensive line and force Peyton out of the pocket, that's where they're going to disrupt the Bronco offense. On the other side, you know, Wilson can run with the football as well as pass it. He's a consistent passer. He can run with the football. They've got a great running back. You know, the Broncos' defense has not been stellar at times. They're going to have to come up big. I don't think this game is between Sherman and Manning, Joe. I just don't think it is.
Yeah, they both kind of cancel each other out because of what they can do, and they do it well. But it's going to be up to the big play. I mean, you know, is Sherman going to make the plays, or is he going to get burned? You know,
He's only one guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm just using him as an example. You know,
Manning's not going to Sherman side on every play unless, you know, Manning has a couple wrinkles and says, I'm going at this guy a couple times. I think I'm not sure who he's going to be on yet. I'm sure the matchups are out there. But, you know, hey, like I said, the Broncos have some pretty big athletic receivers. It's not going to be that simple.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's going to be a fun game to watch. I think sometimes you can kind of pick a big favorite in these things, and I don't know which way to go. Have you made a choice? Not who you're for, but who you predict will win.
Joe, I really haven't, and we'd like to hear from our listeners who they think will win. In my heart, you know, I want Peyton Manning to win. I just love the story. I love the class and the integrity of the guy. I love how he gets picked on every day by the media. Literally one of the three greatest quarterbacks. Don't give me this regular season crap. Hell, he's got to get in the playoffs. His team gets in the playoffs. Don't give me that baloney. The guy's a great quarterback every single day of his life. It's never good enough. And when he does win, well, he should have won. And it's constantly picking at him. And, folks, I'll tell you one thing. I can only tell you from a coaching aspect, it's tough to coach. You know, even when I was at the game, a high school game last night, everybody's got an opinion. I've got an opinion. It's tough to be a coach at any level. Imagine being the quarterback, especially the quarterback with every eye on you of an NFL team every single day, all over the country, and in some cases, all over the world. And whatever you do, however you throw the ball, everybody's got an opinion. Yes, he does get a lot of praise. Yes, he does get a lot of pats on the back. But in the same breath, you'll hear Skip Bayless or that Smith guy or whoever else, Greeny Greenberg or whatever, they'll come right back after praising him and start criticizing him. And they couldn't throw a hot dog onto a bun from 6 inches away. So, I mean, it's just amazing what these guys have to do to be ready mentally. And then you've got Russell Wilson, who I think's just done a phenomenal job in college and now coming into pros. He's kind of running under the radar screen, which is really nice as a young quarterback in the biggest game in sports. He's running under the radar a little bit. So I got to give a lot of credit to Peyton Manning. But he's got some targets. He's got Decker. He's got Julius Thomas. And he's got a pretty experienced Super Bowl player, playoff successful player in Wes Welker. That's why they signed him. He's that guy that you haven't really heard a lot of the last few games, but he may come up big in the short routes and the underneath routes in this game. And I think another part that we have to look at, I really believe, folks, that the Broncos have to be able to run this football. If they can't run this football, if they can't get the Seahawks to at least honor that run game, there's going to be some issues. And they don't have to run it a lot, and they don't have to run it for big yards, but they have to get some plays off where they have some success. They just have to. But the Super Bowl, all weekend we're going to talk Super Bowl. When you're at home, when you're at work, when you're in the restaurant, when you're listening to the radio, when you're listening to the TV, it's just a huge event. And, Joe, we talked a little bit about this before we started the show, the weather. A lot of people worried about wind, rain, snow. It looks like, from a football standpoint, you would know better than I, ideal weather for a football game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the weather, you know, 40, supposed to be around 40 degrees, and, you know, I think that it'll be perfect weather for football. And, you know, the one thing I wanted to bring up about Peyton is he takes so much grief. Now, you know, Gene Cady never made it to the Final Four, so people always, but Peyton has won a Super Bowl. He's proven that he can do it. So why all the scrutiny about Peyton Manning? That's my Coach K and Joe Show mailbag to you, Coach. Why all the scrutiny on Peyton Manning, even though he's already won a Super Bowl?
The bottom line is because he's so successful, so because he's so good at what he does, that people just expect that you just go out and you play and win Super Bowls. Joe Montana won 4 Super Bowls. I guarantee you Joe Montana's teams overall, offensive and defensive side, were better than Peyton Manning's. I'm not making excuses for Peyton Manning. It's tough to win in any sport. It's tough to get to a Super Bowl. Peyton Manning's been to 2 of them, and he's won 1 of them. Joe, we've got ringing going on in the background. I think Joe's going after our first guest. You might want to mute that, Joe.
Hello.
Joe's going after. We've got a little interference going on. But Peyton Manning is a phenomenal player. It doesn't matter if he's played in his last Super Bowl. And to me, it doesn't matter whether he wins or loses this Super Bowl. He is going to go back down as arguably the greatest quarterback that's played. And 15 years from now, 15 years from now, we will – I'm sorry, Joe just texted me. We had a little mute problem, but we're fine now. 15 years from now, somebody else is going to be one of the greatest quarterbacks. But, folks, don't let the pundits, the naysayers, the guys who are making a lot of money for taking the contrarian side of everything. Peyton Manning is a great quarterback. He's a great student of the game. He's a great ambassador of the game. He's human like all of us. And he's got to have other people with him to be successful. But Joe Montana's 4 Super Bowls, Terry Bradshaw's 4 Super Bowls, Peyton Manning's 1 Super Bowl, Tom Brady's 3 Super Bowls, Brett Favre's 1 Super Bowl, doesn't lessen them as the greatest quarterbacks. Johnny Unitas played before the Super Bowls were the Super Bowls. He'd probably have 3 or 4. They're great quarterbacks regardless. And to say, well, the greatest regular season quarterback of all time, that's a bunch of pundit poo. It's pundit poo, folks. It's just giving them something to have a topic to complain about. So it's ridiculous. Hey, we're going to go to break in just a minute here. We've got Tom Dienert from the Big Ten Network, Big10.com, coming up, and we're going to talk about union organization in the Big Ten. Yeah, Northwestern's football team. I'm not even sure they played football this year. We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll talk about Penn State, Nebraska, Northwestern, what's going on in Big Ten hoops. It's kind of topsy-turvy and upside down. For those of you, you're at the end of the year, starting the new year, tax season coming up. There's still time to get your IRAs, your Roth IRAs, your 529s, all that taken care of. It's a great time to move into the market. You got money sitting on the sideline. Guys, it's perpetuation, preservation, and increasing what you've worked hard to get. Give Janet Schultheis a call at Edward Jones. She's located in Evansville, Indiana, but she can work with people all over the country. Give her a call and give Beth, her assistant, a call. We're going to go to break real quick. When we come back, we're talking to Don Dienert of the Big Ten Network. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Toyota Scion of Jasper. It's warming up from the deep freeze we've been in. Some say it's because of global warming. We here at Ubelars think it's all from our hot deals. Like the all-new Corolla for $169 a month, or the number one selling car in America for the past 15 years, the Toyota Camry for $199 a month, both with $2,000 cash or trade. As always, Ubelars is where customers send their friends for hot deals since 1929.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. And I got to tell you, folks, when we have this gentleman on, our show just jumps up about 10 steps. I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, it goes to the top, and that's Tom Dienert of the Big Ten Network, BigTenNetwork.com. Tom, great to have you today.
Coach K, what an introduction, buddy. I wish we could. I wish we were speaking on a happier terms for the state of Indiana. What an abysmal basketball season. Hey, riddle me this, Coach K. Is any D1 school from our fair state going to make the big dance this year?
Tom, I really don't see how it's possible. We had Jerry Palm on from CBS Bracketology a couple weeks ago, and here's exactly what he said about IU. They can't afford any losses to a Northwestern or a Nebraska. Purdue has got to find a big win somewhere. And what has happened? IU goes out and loses to Northwestern and Nebraska, and Purdue can't find a big win. I think the state of Indiana is in big trouble.
I mean, I saw some tweet last night. Somebody thought that the team with the best chance. Are you sitting down, Coach K? The team with the best chance is Indiana, Purdue University at Fort Wayne.
And you know, Tom, it's true because in Jerry Palm's, every week he updates it. They were in there as one of the people, as one of the teams getting a bid. Not Indiana, not Purdue, not Notre Dame at this point, not Indiana State, but Indiana.
Ball State, there's Evansville, there's Valparaiso, there's Butler. I mean, think of all the great basketball schools in the IPFW. You know what they say, Coach Kane, Joe, if you live long enough, you're going to see everything, probably.
And we absolutely have. You know, before we talk about this unionization talk coming out of Northwestern, and we got to talk about it because you're the BigTenNetwork.com, and this is coming out of a Big Ten school. You did have a Hall of Fame vote, correct?
Baseball Hall of Fame vote, yeah.
Yes, and let me ask you this. With the Dan Lebatard stuff that went on, throwing that out there for other people to vote for him, I don't want you to give your opinion on Dan, but does that in some way diminish the process in your mind the way it was done? I'm sure that it's okay to ask for people's thoughts and get people's feedback as you formulate your decision. But the way that was done, did that seem kind of disingenuous in your eyes or not?
I think so. It's just a publicity stunt. A writer, Coach K, with a massive ego, just trying to feed his massive ego even more. I'll be honest with you. People in our industry tend to have gigantic egos. And, again, Dan is about as big as they come. Boy, why else would you pull a look-at-me stunt like that? Again, just cast your ballot, put it in the mail, and be done with it. Instead, he goes to a national website, sells his ballot, and lets Deadspin have it. So, yeah, it created quite a stir, and, of course, it got you know, Dan all types of attention and in publicity. So I think that was the goal.
And the unfortunate thing about that is for all the guys that try, and gals that try to do it right, and for all the hundreds of thousands of fans out there that would love to have the honor to be able to do that, I thought it was disingenuous. I thought it was – I in no way could sympathize with him or could find any validity. I thought it was just disingenuous and self-righteous of him. And I agree with you. I think it was a publicity stunt. Maybe his ratings on his show with his pappy aren't going well. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you know, honestly, there's I've got my vote. I worked for the Sporting News for like 18 years, and my vote's a byproduct of being a part of that organization. And again, overall, Coach Ken, I think there's what, 500 or 600 people who vote. Honestly, they probably should trim it, and they should have a blue ribbon panel of like 50 people who are selected as voters. And let those people make decisions. There's a lot of great baseball people who don't have votes. So, again, I think that they're going to scrutinize their whole process as far as the election goes and the voting goes. And, you know, change is slow in a lot of things. Baseball is a lot like a big bureaucracy like the government. So change probably will be slow, but maybe this would be an agent for change to revise how they elect people to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it very well could be. And speaking of committees and choosing, as always, Tom, when I get you on here, I'm going to talk about just this and this, and then you just opened me up to so many other things. You know, we've got this championship series coming up in football now, and they picked the people to be on the committee that are going to choose these teams and who's going to play for it and that kind of thing. Are you okay with how college football is going to be set up going forward for choosing a champion?
Yeah, I honestly love it. I guess the thing that irks me is it's only four teams. That's way too few. You know, Coach K, Joe, there's going to be a lot of angst, a lot of hand-wringing, a lot of angry people, a lot of fist-shaking. Once those four teams are announced, we all know it, teams 5, 6, 7, just on the other side of the velvet rope are going to be awfully disappointed. Why didn't we get choosed? Blah, blah, blah. And, again, you remember every year we watch the NCAA tournament selection show on that Sunday, right after the bracket's announced, they always get the committee chair on CBS, and he answers questions. Why did this team make it? Why didn't that team make it? And we'll get the same thing here with football. But look at the intense scrutiny that the basketball tourney gets. And that's, what, 68 teams? And you got teams complaining that were, you know, 69, 70, 71. How much yelling is it going to be about teams that are 5, 6, and 7 in college football? So I'm just glad we have a playoff. But, again, for them to make it four teams at this point is preposterous. And why they continue to want to embrace this bowl system just blows my mind. It's such an antiquated, archaic system that has no value at all, yet they continue to cling to it. It's just absurd.
You know, there's a lot of truth. It's really going to be interesting going forward. And I'm hoping that out of this, Tom, they'll see after a couple of years and maybe expand that system a little bit, just as basketball eventually did. But we'll just have to see how that goes. Let's get to at least the first topic I want to hit on, and that is the unionization of college football, at least thrown out there by some players at Northwestern. Of course, a great academic institution, and where better than something come out like that. What is the real impetus of this? I mean, is it really about a union? Is it about getting a little bit better help from the NCAA or the universities when there's an injury, getting things paid for, getting the rehab taken care of? But what are we really talking about, the idea of a union for college athletes?
Yeah, that's it. I think you hit the nail on the head as far as concerns about health. And, again, that's been such a front-burner issue for football. We all know it. They should have been living under a rock the last 6 months. The concussion issues, just the post-football quality of life for these guys who lay it all out on the line. And where once they leave your university or your NFL team, they seem their own to tend to themselves. And you know, there's arguments both sides of this. You know, people from college, even in the NFL, you know, this is voluntary, isn't it? Is anybody making Kane Coulter play football at Northwestern? No, this isn't a draft. So, again, these guys are voluntarily going to play football, and they're getting something in exchange for it. So there's that side of the argument. But, again, I think there is a responsibility of the universities in this case to at least, look at the long-term, issues of playing football, what it can do to you, and maybe offering some type of recourse for some type of long-term health care. I mean, I don't know if it's possible. It's such a huge issue with so many different directions you can go. But, again, the bottom line is the health of these players. If they do incur some type of, concussion issues or post-traumatic stress syndrome once they leave school, will the university or NCAA help them with any medical costs? And, again, I think that's the end game here. But, again, I guess people argue, are these players, first of all, employees? If they're not employees, how can you unionize if you're not employees? So there's that issue. And I guess in the Northwest, it's a private school, and they were able to file this thing with the National Labor Relations Board. Well, I guess that if you at a public school, you couldn't do that. Like at the University of Illinois, I guess you got to do it with your state labor board. And I guess these state labor boards vary widely from state to state. So, again, this is a huge issue with a lot of different hurdles to try to clear and understand.
You know, if for our listeners, if you've just joined us, we're talking to Tom Diener of the Big Ten Network, BigTenNetwork.com, senior writer. For our listeners, we're talking a little bit about the unionization ideas coming up, are coming out of Northwestern, a school in the Big Ten. And we want to thank our sponsor, Ubelar & Sons, for allowing this segment to happen. Tom, I've got to ask you, one of the things I heard some of the young men talking about when they were pushed a little bit, they ended up saying, well, maybe a trust fund where some money was put aside for athletes that they could access later on, that maybe this is another way at getting at being paid or bigger stipends or something more to get a piece of the pie that mm-hmm. college athletics has become about.
Yeah, I think that certainly is going to be a consideration and maybe one of the goals of this as well. I do think the top item, though, are the health concerns, though, Coach K. And, yeah, money, I'm sure, is there. They have their hand out. And, again, what direction you go from there? I mean, if you pay the football players, who else gets paid? Just on the football team, does the backup long snapper get paid as much as the first-string quarterback? So it's interesting, and I think the proverbial cat's out of the bag, and something could be coming down the pike. There seems to be a lot of momentum to maybe at least increasing the overall grant and aid these guys receive to cover the actual cost of going to college. These guys are getting a pretty big value when you think about it. What's it cost just as a, for instance, to send a kid to Indiana for a year? Is it $20,000 maybe?
Yeah, it's $20,000.
$20,000 times 4 is $80,000. They're getting $80,000. And something worth $80,000 over the course of a four-year period for their blood, sweat, and tears, which isn't too bad. So I don't know. They're getting something big. Imagine if a kid goes to Notre Dame or Stanford, the value of it even goes higher, doesn't it? I mean, a school like that's probably $50,000. That's a $200,000 value for 4 years. That's not too bad either, and they want more. So I don't know. It's an interesting debate that's not going away. And again, college sports looks like it's headed for more big changes here in the next couple of years, not just with this stuff, but with, we talked about the evolution of the playoff as well, with the union, with possibly paying guys. And maybe even some more conference alignment. Who knows, guys? Maybe even some type of breakaway from the NCAA by these schools from bigger conferences.
You know, Tom, something that would be interesting to me would be the number to each school, and I am sure they can track it, the injuries, and the cost of the injuries to the student, to the family, to whoever's paying for it, and just how much money we're talking about as far as rehab and the amount of money that gets paid out by families or schools. I'm not sure how they break out when an athlete gets injured, who ends up paying for all that exactly. Mm-hmm. But wouldn't it be interesting to see what that dollar figure is and whether that's even conceivably possible for universities or the NCAA to take that on in some shape or form?
I'm not sure. You know, it would seem like such a big task. It'd be kind of neat just to talk to a guy who played football just in a Big Ten schools, for instance. Maybe he suffered a major knee injury while he was at college. I'm sure he got his operation and his rehab paid for while he was in college. But two or three years later, he leaves school and his knee's still acting up. I mean, he's on the hook there to take care of his medical issue at that point, even though it happened while he was in college. Well, why should the university be obliged to step forward and continue to pay for this guy's rehabilitation? I mean, that may be the question some people ask. And it's an interesting debate.
Yeah, Tommy, it really is. Joe just mentioned to me, Joe, I can bring you in here as a father, a parent of a Division I athlete in volleyball. You said that when your daughter was hurt, your insurance had to pay for it first.
Oh, yeah, that's the first thing that Marshall University asked for, I think, before anything else, was our insurance card. And when she got hurt, our insurance had to pay first before the university paid anything.
Wow. Hey, Joe, you think that's common practice across all D1 schools?
I'm not sure because, you know, Marshall is not the most wealthiest school in the world. And, so I'm not sure if that was a product of just necessity, because to be able to have Division I sports, you know, and be able to afford it, they had to do that, or if that's widespread everywhere. Now, I do know at Florida International, she played there her senior year. I don't think they ever asked us for her insurance card.
Interesting.
So,
it's interesting stuff to see. It would be interesting to see what an athlete at Purdue or Indiana, how that situation is handled as far as the injuries go and the insurance.
You're right. I think that might be something that we might be doing, is asking some of these different universities, you know, are they paying? Are the kids paying first? And Tom, you made the greatest statement of all. Once they leave the university that's pre-existing, who pays for it? How does it get paid for it? And maybe a little medical fund needs to be there to help some of these guys out.
Yeah, I mean, I could see having some type of a fund, a general injury fund, whatever you want to call it. And then I guess if you want to try to, quote-unquote, tap into it, you could go before a board, bring your papers, bring your medical documents, and make a petition to try to access some of the money. I'm not sure if you could have a carte blanche system where you just walk to the window and got your check. But, again, maybe there could be some type of a process, and I don't know, whatever you want to call it, to go before some type of NCAA medical board and say, hey, I had this happen in college. I'm still having issues with it 10 years later. Here's what my doctor says, blah, blah, blah. What do you think? Can I get X, Y, and Z as far as money goes? So who knows? Maybe something like that could be developed in the future.
I think it's going to get really sticky. It's going to be interesting to see what has legs. And believe me, Tom, there'll be attorneys involved every step of the way. You can believe that.
Hey, real quick, this was something I was thinking of the other day, too. Not to interrupt, but I said playing college sports is voluntary, right? Nobody's making these guys go play football. All right. Well, joining the military is voluntary, too, right? There's no draft, right?
Exactly.
These guys going to service voluntarily. A lot of them get injured, hurt, killed, whatever. And the obligation medically for those guys is for life, isn't it?
Well, it's to a degree it is, but you know, all throughout the country, we have seen cases where the government has come up short in taking care of these guys to some degree, and that's why the Wounded Warrior Project is so important right now. It's something that I give to help our vets when they come back. here's the one thing that I think I have to get over. Folks, if there are no scholarships and everything's voluntary, a lot of guys aren't going to be playing college sports because they're not going to be able to afford to do it.
I agree. It's like I said, it's a many-tentacled issue, and I don't mean to compare veterans with college athletics as far as the sacrifice potential, you know, danger involved. But again, it makes for great debate collegiately with some of these issues we're talking about, and greater minds than ours are going to have to sit down and get something hashed out, because like I said, there seems to be so much momentum and such a movement behind many of these things we've discussed that I think we're heading toward a college athletic system that's going to look a lot different than what we know now. Who knows the next 5 or 10 years, if not sooner.
Yeah, and I know you'll keep us up on that, and we're going to be following that. And I know you weren't comparing the military to college, but you're just talking about the parallels. So anybody that gets nervous out there and says, hey, you know, that's not the same, he was talking about the parallels. Real quickly, talking about topsy-turvy and parallels, and what is going on in the Big Ten? Nebraska, Northwestern, Penn State, all of a sudden they're the beasts of the East? They're the Big Ten hammers? Tom, what are we seeing?
Well, I guess it'd be interesting to get your all's take, too. Is this really a sign the Big Ten is the best conference in America? I mean, it's hard to argue 1-12. Is there any conference with a better collection of teams? And probably not. But, again, at the very top, there seems to really only be two elite teams, Michigan and Michigan State. I don't think Iowa's there. And then we've seen what's happened with Wisconsin and Ohio State in particular. Minnesota certainly is an elite. So, again, great, great depth. Better bring your A game. Especially on the road, you could lose to anybody, obviously. I don't know. It's topsy-turvy, Coach K. It makes for a fun race. Personally, I like to be able to get my head and my hands around the subject so I can understand it. And this causes more confusion with each passing day. The last two nights have been crazy. But it's fun. I mean, I love it, the unpredictability of it. It makes everybody involved, all the fans are involved and excited, too. It's kind of nice. You know, football, things sometimes get too cut and dry. Well, it's Ohio State again. Roll your eyes and just play out the string. Well, this year, yeah, there's two great teams, but, you know, they could possibly get knocked off, too. Remember this, Michigan only won by 1 point at Nebraska. So, again, they got some big games left. But it's fun, and there's a lot of parity, and just a very entertaining league so far.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Iowa, to me, isn't mentally tough enough. Ohio State's undersized. Wisconsin's what I said about a month ago. They can look so good and then go into the tank for 2 weeks. Last year, it was right at tournament time. But Nebraska has surprised me, and Northwestern wins ugly. I love it. I just love the coach's approach at Northwestern. I just love what they're doing. Tom, I'm not going to let you go without putting you on the spot. You're a Purdue grad. What is going on in West Lafayette with that basketball team? A lot of guys with talent, they all seem to be the same way, and you can't put five guys to play the same way out on the court in the Big Ten expect to win. What is going on at Purdue?
Yeah, you know, they've lost they've lost any mental toughness. I think that's something that's been lacking the last couple of years. I go back to the Gene Cady years. I mean, that was always something you could count on. A couple of things, them being a tough team, them always playing good defense. You know, the offense kind of came and went with their talent. But playing tough, playing smart, playing good defense were always sort of staples of Purdue under Cady. Painter had some of that for a while, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. But everything seems to have disappeared here. Coach P, I think there's talent. There's talent on that team. Something's not translating from the coaches to the players, obviously. There's nothing that doesn't need a lot of leadership as well. So it's got to be disconcerting. This is 2 years in a row that things are sort of going south. And
look at their schedule, guys, and I dare you, I challenge you to find me two or three more games you think this team's going to win. I'll be shocked if they get five Big Ten wins this year. So, yeah, it's troubling, Coach K. And, I mean, tell me if I'm missing something, but Matt Painter is getting paid a lot of money. He got his assistant coach's raises a few years ago. He's got a brand new renovated Mackey Arena, nice, beautiful practice facility. As far as I know, there's no key injuries, right? As far as I know, there's no key academic casualties. I don't know. You know, everything's right there. And I'll just leave you with this. To whom much is given, much is expected. And just, again, maybe leave it with that.
You heard it from Tom Diener, the BigTenNetwork.com, a Purdue grad. And I got to tell you, I'm starting to feel the way you are. I've always been in the corner of Coach Painter, and I'm not saying I'm not in the corner, but right now I look at a basketball team at Purdue that is better talent, as talent is better than they were last year. But when it comes to basketball intelligence, IQ on the floor, I don't see it. So, Tom, thanks for being
Hey, one last real quick,
yeah.
Coach K.
Yeah.
Tell me, if you can. I know you got to run, but well, if you can, in 10 seconds, what do you think of his staff as assistant coaches?
Oh, man, we had one of the assistants on the program, and he was good to us. I got to watch what I say, but
That's okay. It's just food for thought. I think back to Gene Cady.
No.
He had some pretty good staffs, you know, led by Bruce Weber for a number of years.
I agree, Tom. I think at some point as a head coach, Mike Wilson had to do this in football. You got to look at your staff and say, I may have to make some tough decisions. You got to have guys that can recruit. You got to have guys that can help you on the floor. You got to have guys that are great at keeping track of them and teaching them once they get on campus. I don't know. Bruce Weber, great job. I'll tell you what. I thought Frank Kendrick, I know he got in some trouble. I thought he was a heck of a recruiter, and I know we guys can make jokes about it. But he knew how to go out and find the guys that were going to come in and do what Gene Cady needed to be done. I met Frank several times. I thought he had a great grasp of the recruiting side. So, Tom, I think you make a great point. At some point, the head coach has to look in the mirror and say, okay, here's my situation, but what am I surrounding myself? Just like when you put five guys on the floor. Are you putting five guys on the floor that can play together, that give you something different each position, that create a strong unit on the court? I don't think it's
there. You go. Yeah, Painter's lost a couple of good assistants. Paul left. Remember, he left a very highly thought of guy. And he lost the Rob Ray guy as well. So, he's taken some hits on his staff, lost some good people. And at this point, if this season continues to spiral and go down the drain, like you alluded to, Coach K, everything has to be put on the table and examined.
Yeah, if you want to stay around, you better make some adjustments, because Purdue wants a winner. And they should. They're putting the money in now. They got a great tradition, and they want to compete in the Big Ten, and they want to be number one in Indiana. And right now, with IU's up and down situation, mm-hmm. they've got a great opportunity to gain ground in the recruiting in Indiana and headlines in Indiana. Would you agree?
Oh, you're exactly right, and that's got to rankle Indiana and Purdue fans to look at the rosters of Michigan and Michigan State. And to see those stud players from the Hoosier State matriculate across that border, it sickens me, honestly. I mean, I know I like the Big Ten overall, but as a guy from that state, I mean, you sure would like to see those guys stay in their home state. Losing to Sean Thomas to Ohio State a couple of years ago from Fort Wayne, I mean, those kind of things are just killer. Why can't schools like Purdue and Indiana keep those guys in the borders? I mean, well, why would I just don't get it. But anyway, that's some of my frustration coming out. I guess I'm glad they're still in the Big Ten. We can watch guys like, you know, Glenn Robinson and Zach Ervin and Gary Harris and Spike Albrecht continue to excel.
I understand your pain. We had Dane Fife on a couple weeks ago, and I asked him, what is the lure of that Michigan line? And you know what? He handled it perfect. he avoided the question. He didn't want to give any reasons. He didn't want to create any animosity. He didn't want to give any firepower to any side. I just thought it was so coy of him to just absolutely jump over the question and go somewhere else with it. But you're right. We got to keep the homegrown guys right here in this state, and IU first and Purdue second as far as I'm concerned.
And again, the best player in the state's the kid going to Indiana, right, Blackman? This coming year. Best high school player in the state.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll
again,
see what happens.
At least Indiana, you know, he's staying in state. I think there's a good, really good player in Evansville. The Lyles kid, I think he's going to leave, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he went out to a prep school this year instead of staying at Evansville.
Oh, he did.
He went out to Huntington Prep. And he will probably not be in state when he makes his final decision. So we're keeping a few, but we're losing too many, Tom. It's just absolutely
It's going to happen. You can't keep everybody. I get that. Some guys just want to leave, and I understand that. But boy, it's just sort of vexing at times to see the attrition. You know, another guy's Mitch McGarry, a guy from up in the region as well.
Yeah.
So it's on and on. On and on it goes, right?
It does. All right, well, I know you're venting, and I feel your pain, but we have got to go to break. Tom,
oh, wait, we'll stay in touch, and let's catch up again in February, obviously.
Obviously, we will do that. We want to thank Tom Dienert again for being with us, and Joe and I need to not only catch up, we got to get in person with you as well. We're going to go to break.
Yeah.
When we come back,
we've
got a little mailbag. We got a little mailbag when we come back, and then we'll have Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star a little bit later. You're listening to Coach K and Joe Show, and Tom Dienert is not happy.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? We'll team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
This is Tony Ubelar. You know there's a reason why Ubelar sells so many vehicles. No call before midnight, no dock fees, just saving you money the right way, day in and day out. So when we say you can lease a new cruise for $159 per month, it's not a bait and switch. It's $159 per month with $2,000 down. Or if you have a GM card bonus earnings, nothing down. It's well worth your time to make the trip to Jasper. Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac, where customers send their friends for all the right reasons since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Dienert of the Big...
It's not the U.S. Postal mailbag. It's not the Joe mailbag. It's the Coach K mailbag.
New York and New Jersey love Coach K. Go Hoosiers! Coach K speaks the truth! Woo!
Now, here's Coach K and Joe with this week's Coach K's mailbag.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, joined by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schulteis. Coach, do you think one of those two guys that is in that promo, do you think that one of them is the mayor? Do you think?
I don't know. I don't know. He could be, and I hope that Jim Irsay gave him a great seat in the suite. And if he has an extra ticket, he can call Coach K and let him know and I'll jump on a flight and get out there for the Super Bowl, maybe. How about Tom Dienert? He's just not a happy camper when it comes to Purdue right now, is he?
No, and he, you know, on Golden Black Illustrated, I always defend him because everyone thinks that there's no way he's a Purdue fan. I think he's just a frustrated Purdue fan, like a lot of us. And Purdue knuckleheads that might be listening, I can guarantee you I've known Tom for a while, long while, and he bleeds black and gold. He's a great reporter, and he doesn't report from a Purdue slant. He's going to let you know exactly what is what.
And, you know, he does a great job with all the Big Ten teams. And, you know, those that that have never gotten on BTN.com and read his columns, you're missing out. He comes out with a bunch of great stuff.
Oh, absolutely. And you can follow him on Twitter as well. I'll tell you, I love that our guests can come on our show and get that relaxed where they can just talk. And it's like sitting at a table, having a drink and eating a couple peanuts as we go and just talking. And I love Tom just opening up and talking about Big Ten and just his feelings right now as a Purdue fan. And we want to thank people like Ubelor and Son. Tony Ubelor and his gang out at Ubelor and Sons. You need a Chevy, you need a GMC, you need a Toyota, go to ubelor.com or go see them and get that vehicle. They'll take care of you. We appreciate them being in a position to help us bring guys like Tom Dienhart from the Big Ten Network on, and we certainly did enjoy it. And obviously, Edward Jones, again, give Janet Schulteis a call. She'll help you prosper what you have into more. 812-479-8215. Joe, I think we got maybe one or two questions. You've also got going to go get Kyle Neddenrip, our next guest. Give us our first mailbag question, then you can go get Kyle, and we'll finish things up.
Okay, this is from Jerry in Monroe City. For those of you who don't know Monroe City, it's in Knox County over near Vincennes in Indiana. And his question is, with January ending, who do you feel like are the top teams in Southern Indiana in each class in boys basketball?
Jerry, that's a great question, and it's a tough question. It's a tough question because I think that January is a tough month in basketball, period, college level, high school level. I call it the January blahs. And I think if you're going to get upset, January is the time to do that. So I can tell you that in the southern part of the state, I think the top team is Bar 8 in 1A. And I think they're one of the best teams in this part of the state as far as just a basketball team. But in 1A, I would go with Bar Eve. Of course, Borden is a little bit east of us. They've got a really nice team as well. Class 2A, well, I'm just not sure. Sullivan has a nice team. Paoli has shown consistency. They've had wins over Jasper and some other larger schools. They're 9-2. Crawford County has a good team this year. There's some good teams in Southern Indiana in 2A as well. I would look at those teams right now as top teams. 3A, I don't think there's a lot of great teams in 3A in Southern Indiana, to be flat honest with you. I think there's some good teams. I think that Evansville Memorial has a pretty good team in 3A. I think Modern Day's playing well. Vincennes has had up and down. Princeton's starting to come on a little bit, but I just don't think there is a class team in 3A in Southern Indiana. Corydon has a nice team, a very nice team. If you're not familiar with Corydon, they're over towards New Albany area. But nobody that just jumps out and says, you know, we're a great team and we're going to be dominant. But I keep your eye on this Memorial team. Out of Evansville. I think they've got several good players on their team. 4A, there's just not a whole lot in Southern Indiana. And then if you just talk about girls, Princeton and Modern Day are just the class of all the girls' teams in Southern Indiana. Washington's got a nice team. And there are some other good teams in Southern Indiana. Vincent Reveille's got a really good team. But I think if you look at some talent on the floor, Evansville, Modern Day, and Princeton on the girls' side are pretty solid, Jerry. I've got a question here, Joe, real quick before we go to Kyle. Jay Wilson on Twitter, 1406, says, Coach K, can you make the case that Michigan is one of the best teams in the country, even with McGarry out? I can make that case right now, and Josh Houchin is jumping for joy. Josh Houchin, of course, a sponsor of the show. And a great big Michigan fan with Idea Fusion. Michigan, won again, They are doing everything they need to do to win. Do I like them? No, you know Coach K doesn't, but I got to make the case. If Wichita State, who's undefeated, and I give them all the credit in the world, but the MVC is not the MVC that we've seen, especially with Creighton out of it. But if Wichita State is one of the top four teams in the country, Michigan has to be right there. If San Diego State is one of the top five teams in the country, Michigan has to be right there. So Jay Wilson, 1406, and Josh Houchin, I have to say that Michigan is making a case for itself at this point in the year, with the Big Ten the way it is, to be one of the top five teams in the country. I do not think, had one of Michigan State's interior players been available, they would have beat Michigan State. But they weren't, and they did, so I got to give them credit. Joe, we got one more question?
One more quick question. This comes from Steve from Jasper. With your son, Josh, joining the coaching staff at Bar Reeve, that makes three generations of Schulteises as Indiana high school basketball coaches. Who does he favor more, you or Coach Ed?
I think that Josh favors himself. He's still a young coach. He's an assistant with a great staff. Coach Hughes does a super job at Bar Reeve as a coach, period. Bar Reeve's got a great program. And, you know, when I came out of college at 22, I became a head basketball coach. Excuse me, folks, I had a little technical difficulty there. When my dad, Ed Schulteis, came out of the military, he did a stint in the Army after college, he became a head coach at Modern Day High School in Evansville. Josh is coming out of IU, and he starts out as an assistant. But Josh is exactly who he wants to be, and he will grow into the coach he needs to be. But most importantly, he's going to be an outstanding teacher. And that's the most important thing when you're in education, whether you're teaching as a coach, teaching in the classroom, be an outstanding teacher. So that's a great question, Steve. Thanks.
Okay, and one thing, I did have a text that I was getting Kyle, so I didn't get to hear this, but they said that you forgot Heritage Hills in top teams in Southern Indiana.
Oh, I absolutely did, and I apologize. And maybe I forgot about Heritage Hills, and believe me, folks, I've got them on my list. I know they had dropped a game the other night, and maybe that just threw me off. But they are an outstanding basketball team as well. Sherry and Murder, and, of course, Coach Matt Sisley, who is a regular on our show, and we do not want to leave them out. New Albany, I did not mention New Albany out of the Louisville area. And a lot of times we forget that Southern Indiana also has the southeastern part of Indiana, which is the Jeffersonville, New Albany, Clarksville, Providence area. And they've got a solid team over there. I think even Clarksville, 2A, Clarksville is 10-1 and ranked number 2 in 2A. So it was a great question. And it was such a broad question that Coach K was up to the task, but he did leave a couple people out of there, and I apologize for that. Thank you, Heritage Hills, for making mention of that. You deserve to be in the top teams of Southern Indiana. Okay, and Joe, is Kyle ready? We want to go to break?
Yeah, let's go to break, and we'll be back with Kyle.
Okay, we got Kyle Nedenrith from the Indianapolis Star. He is the man when it comes to high school sports up there, and we're going to be talking Indy high school basketball with him. Big game last night for the city tournament championship, and we'll be talking about where two or three of those guys around the Indianapolis area are going to rank all time as Indiana high school basketball players. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we'll be with Kyle Nedenrith of the Indianapolis Star. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Toyota Scion of Jasper. It's warming up from the deep freeze we've been in. Some say it's because of global warming. We here at Ubelars think it's all from our hot deals, like the all-new Corolla for $169 a month, or the number one selling car in America for the past 15 years, the Toyota Camry for $199 a month, both with $2,000 cash or trade. As always, Ubelars is where customers send their friends for hot deals since 1929.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is Tyler Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. Thank you, Tyler Zeller. And Tyler had a couple points last night in Cleveland's loss, I believe, to the Knicks. You can tweet us at Coach K and Andy Joe, or you can text me at 812-480-9449. And next up, I love when he joins the show. I follow him on Twitter. I follow him in his articles on the Star. Kyle Nedrip from the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, great to have you. And you're coming off a big night, at least in high school boys basketball, the city championship up in Indianapolis.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. It was a delayed end to this tournament, of course, with the weather, you know, postponing things on Monday. But, you know, got back Thursday night, and, you know, it was not a surprising result. Tech looks pretty dominant this year, but Cathedral played a lot better than they did the first meeting of the year when they just got throttled. You know, it was 40-8, you know, at one point in that game, and they lost by 30. But last night, you know, kept it close. I think, you know, showed some things that they can do, you know, if these teams meet up again in the sectional, that, you know, they can at least put a scare into Tech. But, yeah, it was a, you know, Tech first championship in 23 years in the city tournament. And, you know, I think they're definitely put things together this year and will be a tough team to beat, you know, in March.
You know, Kyle, I've been really following through your tweets and our, we have a contributor for Indy High School Basketball, Don Schulteis. He was texting me during the game. He has a son that plays on the JV at Cathedral, so he was at the city championship game cheering on Cathedral. Mm-hmm. He was texting me. Trey Lyles started out really strong in that basketball game, and the one thing that I've kind of been watching Trey play this year, because of, you know, some of the things that went on last year at the sectional time and the injury and not wanting to play, it looks like, and then the talk about him possibly leaving to a prep school, it looks like that Trey Lyles has his head on straight. He's focused. His team is focused. And that is really what's making this a special year.
Yeah, and he, you know, I like what they've done. I mean, in the past, there's been times where, you know, he's maybe thought of himself more as a perimeter player, and he can. I mean, he you know, last night in the first, you know, 10 minutes, he hit 2 3-pointers, you know, and looked good doing it. You know, those were good shots he took. And but he has really, you know, this year especially, just gone down the post and said, hey, you know, you either foul me or I'm going to dunk on you. You know, that's pretty much, you know, it's pretty much what has worked for Tech, you know. And Trey is really, and he's always been good at passing out of double teams. You know, he looks for shooters. You know, he doesn't force shots. And I think a lot of times you see star players where they feel like, you know, I've got to go, you know, I've got to go score. I've got to shoot every time. And he's not that way. You know, his assist numbers have always been good. He's got a good knack for finding guys. He's, you know, he looks off his passes, you know, so he doesn't telegraph them. But I think this year the biggest difference is just that he's just so dominant physically, you know, and you know, that was really, you know, in some of these bigger games, you know, teams just haven't been able to physically, you know, match up with him. And, you know, I'd be curious to see a running total on how many dunks he has this year, because it's got to be, you know, it seems like he's getting 4 or 5 every single game, and he's just he's very adept at, you know, he does a lot of good things with his, you know, footwork, and he's not a super athlete, but a good athlete. But really, the power in his game this year has really, I think, been the biggest difference. You know, and I think that's a credit to the work he put in the off season, and and really his just overall development in his game. But yeah, he's been exceptional this year, no doubt.
You know, he really has, and I when I saw him play in person a couple times, he just reminded me, not exactly, but just big and strong and moved on the floor. He reminded me a lot of Sean Kemp when he played at Concord. And the thing that you just said that I really agree with, and I tell people all the time, he's very adept at passing the basketball, and they can almost use him as a decoy to draw the defense and just say, we're going to, in this particular game with this particular team, we're just going to let them key on Trey, because Trey's so good at finding the open man and getting the basketball to him.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, I mean, that's the thing. Even as a freshman, I noticed about him was, a lot of times you'll see guys who are really good post players, it's like a black hole. It goes in there and never comes out. And they think, no, I'm sure they've been taught that way. You got to make a move and get the shot up. But, he even as good as he is offensively, I mean, he finds guys on the perimeter. And, last night that happened a few times. Justin Parker, he's a guy who's not a big name. He's probably, the fifth of the five starters that you recognize. And a lot of times he comes off the bench, too. But, Trey found him a few times. Parker was 3-for-3 from the three-point line. And like Andy Fagan, Cathedral's coach, said, Parker was the difference in the game. And a lot of that is Trey just finding guys on who can score. And, Jeremy Tyler, the Ball State recruit, he's been a recipient of that, from Trey, too. And, Jeremy does a lot on his own as well. I mean, he's in my mind, a legitimate, Indiana All-Star. But, he gets a lot of open looks because teams have to double-team, Lyles. If you don't double-team him, I mean, you're just asking to get beat. But, Trey is smart enough and talented enough to get the ball out of there when he knows that the odds of him scoring aren't good. He's definitely willing to give it up.
Kyle, you've kind of talked about Tech being up at the top, and you've had Cathedral somewhere in your top four or five in Indianapolis. They played a tough semifinal game against Cecina, and Cecina has an assistant coach, former longtime head coach, a very good friend of mine, Ron Heklinski, on the staff. Mm-hmm. This Cecina program, they played Cathedral to the wire. Is Cecina, as far, I believe they're 2A, is this a pretty solid ball club?
Yeah, they are. And if if Park Tudor wasn't blocking their path, I think they'd have a pretty good shot to go away. I think they could give Park Tudor a pretty good game, when they meet him, if they meet him in the tournament. Cecina's got, Gary Bonds. He's a guy who is a junior. He's about 6'7", highly touted. Even a couple of years ago, he started out at Cecina, went to Warren Central, ended up coming back to Cecina. And I've really been impressed. I saw him in that semifinal game, and, he gave Cathedral fits. So that's a really good defensive Cathedral team. And then, they got several guards. The Rutland twins are both juniors. Those guys are good players. Delano Coffey, they've got good guard play. As a 2A team, I mean, they're definitely a top 10 team in my mind. And maybe even, if they weren't playing such a tough schedule, I think more people probably know about them. But, they play a lot of 4A, 3A teams, and they get beat a little bit because of that. But, they're definitely legit. I think they could give Park Tudor, all they can handle. But, I'm a little bit surprised. Park Tudor is, in my mind, they should be in some of these national rankings. Their only loss is to Tech, and that was in overtime. And so I'm a little surprised Park Tudor isn't getting a little bit more, love nationally. But, that's a very good team, regardless of class. But I think Cecina, in a 32-minute game in the tournament, I think they could give them a pretty good battle, based on their talent alone. They've got guys who can play for sure.
The IBCA, Indiana Basketball Coaches Association, puts out a top 20 instead of just a class ranking, and they've got Indianapolis Tech up top. They've got Carmel second, Park Tudor third, Hamilton Southeastern fourth. Then you jump down a little bit with Mooresville 10th, a good friend of mine, again, coaching and connected to Ron Heklinski as well. Bobby Carter is the coach at Mooresville. We've known each other for 25 years. You've got Brownsburg. Cathedral comes in a little bit later down there. Guerin Catholic. When I say Tech, Carmel, Park Tudor, Hamilton Southeastern, do you look at that and say, yeah, that's a pretty legitimate top four teams right there?
Yeah, I would definitely put, I'd put Tech as the number two team, right behind, I put Park Tudor as the number two team behind Tech, just because, that was a game, could have gone either way when they played each other, and Trayvon Blewett, I don't know what more you can say about him, but, 51 points in that game against a good defensive team in Tech, that's not a team that just lets you just score as you want, but Blewett did that night. But yeah, I would say, Park Tudor, Carmel, we're going to find out Saturday. I'm going to see Hamilton Southeastern play against Tech, and Hamilton Southeastern's a team I really like, and they just hammered Brownsburg, about a week and a half ago, and that, I think that was a little bit of a surprise, just because Brownsburg was coming off the county, Hendricks County, and had beaten some good teams, but HSC, the thing about them is they can really score. They've got good shooters, Tyler Jenkins, Eric Davidson, Zed Gunn, the guy that we'll be hearing a lot more about. He's a freshman, about 6'6", and he can really shoot it from the outside. So, they're going to – I wouldn't be surprised if they gave Tech a pretty good game. I guess, again, my question, when they play Tech is can they – what are they going to do to stop Wiles? And nobody's really found that answer just yet. But I think HSC will give Tech a good game. I'm looking forward to seeing how that game unfolds on Saturday night.
And the thing about Tech is as you pointed out, Lyles is a huge part of that, but they've got some other guys that can play the game and jump and athletic and shoot. We talk about the arms races. You can go back to Russia and the United States in the Cold War. You can go at the Yankees and Boston Red Sox there for a while and the salary caps. Speaking of the arms race in Indianapolis high school basketball, you've got Blackman and Blewett. You did an article about a week or so ago, I believe, maybe earlier this week, about where the number of points these guys are scoring per game this year, where they're going to end up in Indiana high school basketball history. I know I had a young man play for me quite a ways back. He's a Butler assistant now. Michael Lewis scored over 2,000 points in his career, averaged 30, I think, as a senior. It was a great article. Can you just kind of give our listeners a sense of what kind of numbers these guys are putting up this year?
Yeah, it's really amazing. I mean, I didn't even until I kind of stepped back and looked at it. I didn't realize it. You realize how well they're playing and in the astronomical numbers, but until you really kind of put it in a historical perspective, I hadn't really done that before, and both of them, Trayvon Blewett is I think 2,073 points now, and James Blackman, is right behind him. I think 15 points is all he's behind him, and he's played two less games this season, so he'll probably maybe get a few more if Marion can make a run in the tournament. But the overall numbers should put them in a position to make the top 10 all time, at least in career scoring in high school, which is pretty amazing. For two guys in one graduating class, to have that opportunity to do that, and also the single season averages are will both be up there as well, at least in the top 10. And Blewett's got a chance probably. He's at 38.8 right now. The all-time record is, I think, around 42, which would probably be tough to get. But, he can finish, probably in the top three, based on, how he does the rest of the season. And there'll be some games where he's not going to, the pace will be slower. And, Lawrence North did that to him and defended him pretty well. I think he only had 17. But, other than that, he's been over 30 pretty much every game. And, so it's really been a – I think we'll look back, at this season, 10, 15 years from now and really should enjoy, all three, Blackman, Blue, and Miles, I think are all legitimate, Mr. Basketball candidates, definitely. In some years, any one of them could have won it, but, it's really the numbers they're producing is just pretty incredible. I hope people enjoy watching them here the next 5 weeks or so.
Well, if you're in the Indianapolis area and you're not going out and watching these guys, if you just want to be entertained, these guys get it done. And it's not that they're taking every shot. It's just they're so consistent with their ability to score and what they can do on the court. I think Blackman was named a McDonald's All-American. Was Blewett named, or was he left off? Or do you know on that,
well,
Kyle?
Yeah, Blewett unfortunately didn't make it, and I thought that was, I felt like that was an oversight, a big time oversight. I've seen guys who've been All-American, McDonald's All-Americans. To me, he's a no-brainer. He's won two state championships. He's going for a third this year. He's won, two Marion County championships, and that's about as hard to do as winning state. He's put up monster numbers, and he's done it, like you said, he's been efficient. He's shooting, better than, 60%. Blackman is too, So those guys aren't just, like you said, they're not just gunning the ball up there every time. They're efficient, players. But, in Blewett's case, I'm not sure. I don't know if it's because he's not going to the biggest prestigious program in the country. All those Xavier's is obviously a perennial, national tournament, NCAA tournament team. But, I don't know. I'm not sure how, he didn't make it. They took three guys from Indiana, 3 years ago. They took Marcus Teague, Cody Zeller, and Brandon Dawson. So they've done it before, so I'm not sure why they couldn't. Of all years, this would have been the year to take three guys for McDonald's team. But, to me, I'm not sure he cares too much about it, but, I thought he deserved that opportunity.
I got to be honest with you. I'm going to give 30 seconds of a soapbox on this. I think it's a travesty. I think it's ridiculous that oversight, snub, not going to the guy can play. Everybody in America, every college coach in the country knows this guy can play. Every recruiting agency knows this guy is one of the top players. His choice of school, I think even to me, I give the guy even more credit because it wasn't about all the bells and whistles. It's about the place he believed was going to be best for him and good for him. And so I don't know why he was left off. I personally think that he has shown, like a Lyles has, game in, the teams they've played against, game in and game out, every bit, if not more, than a James Blackman Jr., and nothing against James Blackman Jr. in this. I just think he should have been a McDonald's All-American.
Yeah, and I think, and I would, I'd say Blackman deserves it too. I'd say all three of them do deserve it. But again, I don't see all these other guys play, but I'd be hard pressed to believe that there's 24 guys in the country who have done more than Trayvon Blewett and are better players than Trayvon Blewett. And especially, what he's doing this season. He's just an offensive machine. It's really stunning to watch him because I don't know how you really can guard him. And it's not that he's the greatest athlete in the world, but he's just a basketball player. He knows how to play. He has a great 3-point shooter. He's always just one step ahead of the defense, just mentally. That's the enjoyable thing, to watch about him is he just gets it. He understands how to play the game. And I thought it was I felt bad that he didn't make it, but again, I'm sure he's moved on and. I feel sorry for the next opponent he plays because he'd probably take it out on them.
Kyle, are you able to get out and cover the girls' side of things? Do you see a lot of the girls' games or not?
I don't. I don't see as much. Mark Ambrosi for us does a lot of the girls' stuff. He does a great job. And he has seen, he was out for the Bedford North Lawrence North game, and he's covered some of the bigger games for us this year. I didn't get to it this year, but I do normally see the girls' Hall of Fame Classic, but I had to miss it this year, unfortunately. But, I am well aware of Maura Munsterman from the Evansville area and then Whitney Jennings from Logansport, and I think those two probably will battle it out for Miss Basketball. But I'd like to get down and see Jackie Young from Princeton play because I've heard she's an amazing talent down there.
Yeah, I saw her last night. Her team went to 19-0. She's 6 foot. She's a sophomore. She's got a couple other girls on her team that are sophomores. They're going to be fun to watch. She's got a full package. It's obviously, as a sophomore, she's got to keep expanding those skills. But she's definitely worth the interest of coming down and watching. You know, as you we get ready and we move into February, get out of the January, what I call it, when I coached and still call the January blahs, and if you're going to get beat, it's usually in January. You move into February, you start preparing for the tournament. Any big games coming up in the next week or two that are right on your docket that you're saying, these are games people want to get out and see?
Yeah, I mean, I think people may be tired of hearing about Tech at this point, but I think, you know, their schedule kind of eases up a little bit. They've got HSC on Saturday, but then, you know, they're kind of front-loaded. They've only got three more regular season games to play. Pike, Zionsville, and Davis, in the next 3 weeks. So they're kind of scheduled, so, they can maybe get a little bit of rest in February. But I think that, that HSC game on Saturday at Tech, I think that'll be one worth watching. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if HSC could get them, in that game. But, again, it's, and I say that because Tech's coming off the city championship. Maybe you have a slight letdown. But, I think that'll be a good one to watch. I think Carmel's got a couple games that, I think will be interesting to see how they handle Lawrence North. I believe that game is next week, but we'll see them against Hamilton Southeastern on February 13th. That'll be a good one, and a possible sectional preview of that one. So, those two squaring off is always a fun matchup. And then, and then Park Tudor, trying to remember here what they've got left. And actually, they play North Central on Saturday, which is a rematch of a game in the county. So that, I think that'll be interesting to see how North Central, see if they can get them here on the rebound. But Cecina and Park Tudor play on February 12th. The team you talked about earlier, Cecina, that'll be kind of see how they match up against Park Tudor in that game, and then they could see him also in the sectional a couple weeks later. So I think that'll be one to watch. I guess I'd be surprised if Park Tudor got beat at all the rest of the season, but if anybody could, I think it'd be Cecina.
Man, maybe I should come up and check that Cecina Park Tudor game out. That might be one to put on my docket and also catch my nephew Matt Schulteis with Cathedral play at the same time. Kyle, great to have you, and always great stuff. Would love to have you back right before sectional, because I want to find out if you've got a sleeper running around in the tournament up in that Indy area, because I love tournament time, because you really find out the toughness of teams and the individual players. It'd be interesting to get your take going into the tournament, who you might think might be coming sneaking up on somebody.
Yeah, definitely. We'll start taking a closer look at that here in February, and hopefully we'll have a better idea of how it's going to shake out. But, we never know, and that's the fun thing about the tournament is there's always somebody who jumps up and bites you, so that'll be – I'd be glad to come on again, be glad to do that.
Well, we'd love to have you, and hopefully I'll run into you at a game up there in February as well. Kyle, how can they follow you on Twitter?
Yeah, it's just at Kyle Nedenrip. It's my first and last name, and all my – articles and whatnot appear on IndyStar.com or in the print copy, and getting hot and heavy here with basketball, so it's always my favorite time of year, and hopefully it'll warm up a tad so we can get some of these games in.
Yeah, hopefully Indy's not in line for some of the big snowstorms or winter weather that they're saying is coming next week and even the following week. Boy, that would mess up the scheduling. Kyle, thanks for coming on again. People, whether you're in the Indianapolis area or whether you're around the country, if you love high school basketball or the future Division I players, follow Kyle Nedenrip on Twitter. All his articles are there. Great stuff, not just about players and teams, but coaches, personalities. It's great stuff. Kyle, again, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, you bet. Hey, anytime.
All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little more high school hoops in the area. We're going to rant a little bit about what bugs us and maybe what bugs some of our listeners. But we're going to go to break right now and do what we got to do for the people that support us. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? Well, team up with the Coach K and Joe Show
and form a winning marketing team, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan. I'm joined by the Coach, Coach K, Ken Schulteis. Coach, two really good guests today, didn't we? Kyle and Tom, you can't find any better.
No, I mean, you're not going to turn on the Internet very often and find better guests talking sports, talking Big Ten, talking high school hoops, than you're going to get when you turn it into the Coach K and Joe Show. You know, love us, like us, despise us, disagree with us, it doesn't matter. It's your show. Your comments are welcome. Your voice is welcome. But what's most important is we're bringing on great guests who are going to keep you informed and make you think a little bit and make you make some decisions on what you like or don't like. And especially when you get a guy like Tom Dienhardt, excuse me, another technical difficulty. Sorry, Joe, I make those mistakes too. When you get a guy like Tom Dienhardt, who's been with the Sporting News, Big Ten Network, I mean, my gosh, he's got a Hall of Fame vote. He's got a Hall of Fame vote, and he's on the Coach K and Joe Show. You got to love that, Joe, and again, we appreciate them coming on. We respect what they do. And, Joe, I appreciate you reaching out and getting those guests for us.
Yeah, we're graced with great guests. And, you know, Coach, before we get to talking about basketball, I wanted to make a quick note, something I forgot to talk about last week. Last week was Jasper Wrestling's senior night. And at the end of the night, Adam Schwartz, great kid with Down syndrome who participates in sports at Jasper, was going to wrestle an exhibition match, and it was going to be against a kid from Jasper. And they were wrestling Bedford North Lawrence, and a kid named Jesse Knobloch from Bedford agreed to wrestle Adam. And Jesse swore all year he was not going to get pinned. But he wrestled Adam. Adam pinned him, and the celebration was great. And I now have another favorite high school athlete that's not a Jasper high school athlete. And you know, I just felt like we needed to mention Jesse on the show real quick because it was such a great thing to see. And Adam's celebration was unbelievable. And I just wanted to mention that real fast before we got to the high school hoops.
Well, and we should mention that. That's what the Coach K and Joe Show is all about. It's about everything that has to do with athletics and the sports. And the great thing is as many as bad things there are and you know, the money and all that, you have the great stories like that. And we just appreciate a young man from Bedford North Lawrence being willing to do that and the Jasper Wrestling Program. Giving a young man an opportunity, regardless, to go out there. I always say that athletics is the great equalizer. It's not about your name. It's not about how much money you have. It's about your willingness to put yourself out there, and that's a great story, Joe. I also want to mention that Southern Indiana lost an outstanding coach, Dan Sparrow, the head baseball coach at North High School in Evansville for many years, took teams to the state finals in 2002 and 2005, lost a long, courageous battle with colon cancer. And I was not good friends with Dan, but I've known Dan and known of him for many, many years. He was only 53 years old, a great competitor. He was one of those old-school guys, Joe, who, if the field needed to be fixed up, cleaned up, whatever needed to be done, he's like the coaches are in Jasper. He's like the coaches are in different communities. He went out there and did it. He didn't expect the school corporation to have a group of people to just take care of that. He got his players, and he went out there, and he built an outstanding North High School baseball program in Evansville. He was a hands-on guy, three sports star at Central High School, leaves a couple kids. My brother Ed, who has taught and coached at North High School for many, many years, probably as long as Dan did, 29 years, he passes away at 53, and we give our condolences to his family and to the North baseball program and the North community. A good guy, Joe, and we just hate anyone to get that dreaded disease, but that's why the coaches do the Coaches Against Cancer. That's right there, Joe. That's why the B Foundation, Coaches Against Cancer, on the college level, the high school level, all the levels do it. You lose a special guy like Dan Sparrow at 53.
Yeah, whenever you hear something like that, it's a sad story, and we invite all of our listeners to get checked. You know,
sure.
Get the check. I think you might have had been checked locally recently, haven't you?
Well, as we talked about a few shows ago, at the first of the year, I had my colonoscopy. I'm not ashamed to say I had a colonoscopy, and I'll have another one in a few years. Get out there and get a colonoscopy. There is absolutely no reason to be fearful of it, to be ashamed of it, to be shy about talking about it. You know, we ask our wives and our daughters and our mothers to get the breast cancer checks, and guys, get out there and get colonoscopy checks. Do that for your family. Do that for the people you care about, and hopefully someday we won't have to worry about this kind of disease. But again, Coaches Versus Cancer, it goes on all over the state. It goes on all over the country, and we certainly support that. And Dan Sparrow, again, our condolences to his family. He was a good guy. Joe, a couple things here. I've got another question.
Okay.
Coach K, what did you think about Melo's 60-plus performance and the LeBron Kevin Durant? Okay, let me start first with Melo. I think the insinuation was, hey, Coach K, you've been on Melo, because this comes in right after I've talked about it. Guys, listen to me. I never said Melo can't score. I never said that. Melo can score. He can score 65, 62, whatever he had. He didn't even have any assists. Had none. No assists in that game. I'm sorry, but it's a fact. Check the stats. The guy can score. My comments are, Melo, you got to get people involved around you. You got to let others step up and be important parts of the game. As I've said before, you got to let somebody else get in the front seat with you. And Melo doesn't do that. I'm nursing a little bit of a cold here, so LeBron, Durant. Excuse me. LeBron and Durant, I think Kevin Durant is coming of age, folks. I think he's coming of age. This time, Westbrook out, the first week or so, he struggled to step up, but he's becoming the hammer. Kevin Durant is becoming the hammer. Is he better than LeBron James? I love when Skip Bayless, Stephen A. Smith, I shouldn't even say their names because it's ridiculous. Is Kevin Durant replacing LeBron James as the next great player of the NBA? Folks, what are you talking about? LeBron James has three championships. His Heat are going to compete for another one unless the Pacers can knock him off, which I which we all hope they can do. LeBron James is a stud. He's a genetic freak on the basketball court. He rebounds. He defends. He's physically, he's got a center power forward's body and plays a point guard. He can shoot it. Kevin Durant is one of the top five players and could become one of the top three players if he continues to play the way he's playing, stepping up big in games. The other night, KD and Oklahoma City beat the Heat. He had 33 points. I think he had 7 rebounds, 5 assists. LeBron had 34 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. And Durant got most of his after the first quarter and really took Oklahoma City and started moving him in a position to win that game. KD now understands what it means to step up and be the man. He's the hammer when he needs to be the hammer. And that's what LeBron has learned to do. That's what Dwayne Wade did for a while before his injuries have taken over. Kevin Durant's there. He's not replacing LeBron James. He's in the same conversation with LeBron James. Folks, you just don't replace LeBron James at this point, no more than somebody could replace Michael Jordan. Is Carmelo Anthony in that discussion? Absolutely not. He can score, but he doesn't help his team get better. Joe, sounds like you're having some technical problems again.
No, phone's kind of screwing up, so, you know, they have a mind of their own, and it's just part of the play here. I mean, I don't know what's going on with it, but it seems fine
now.
Are
you sure you're not trying to call somebody else while I'm on here talking because you're just bored of listening to me?
No, actually, sometimes for Milling Communications, I do get calls, but I never answer them because I'm afraid if I answer them, I would cut us off, so... Anyone that's trying to call me during the show, do not expect me to answer. I can't afford to lose Coach K.
Okay, I just got another text in. Again, you can text me at 812-480-9449. I just got a text, and it regards – let me look at it real quick. Oh, it's the Pacers. Can the Pacers keep up? Derek, can the Pacers keep it up to replace the Heat? Well, they stubbed their toe last night, I believe, and took a loss against the Phoenix Suns. Was it the Phoenix Suns last night? I think it was.
102-94.
But they were coming off a West Coast trip. And I don't want to make excuses for them because I don't want to be like Indiana, the Hoosiers. Yeah, I am so tired of the Big Ten Network. I'm getting off a little bit here, the question, but I got to finish this point. I get so tired of the Big Ten Network. They're always starting their conversations with Coach Crean. I know you've got a young Indiana team here. Folks, give it a rest. This IU team is halfway through the season. They're as seasoned as anybody else. Yes, they are freshmen and sophomores. Would we be better with Oladipo and Zeller, who should still be on the team? Yes, we would, but we don't have them. Quit making excuses for the Hoosiers. I don't know if Fred Glass and the Big Ten Network have a little contract that says, you know, we bring a lot of money to the Big Ten Network. Make sure you start with Coach Crean. You've got a young team here. Listen, Indiana had a 16-point lead last night against Nebraska, and they didn't hold it. And they can't play well against the zone. They don't move the ball well. They over-focus on where they're going with the ball. They go 3 games and don't give it to Vonleh, and then they go a game and try to force it to Vonleh. It's a struggle right now. It's the January blahs, whatever you want to call it. And I think Yogi Ferrell looks a little tired. But back to the Pacers. The Pacers are going to be in this thing all the way, folks. All the way. I think they're a couple games up on the Heat anyway right now. They're in this thing all the way. The Pacers have a great opportunity. Hibbert, stay healthy. Paul George, stay healthy. and the rest of the guys stay healthy. We're in this thing all the way. Because right now, the Heat are hurting a little bit. Dwayne Wade's knees. Odin is still got to make a lot of progress. And they got a couple other guys that are struggling, Joe.
Yeah, they do. But I just got a question in, too. I know it's the Coach Kane mailbag's over, but I just got a text as well. John wants to know what's up with Coach Crean's substitution patterns. I didn't get to watch the game, so I was at the Jasper Princeton game, so I don't know. And I know you were there, too, so I'm not sure if you can answer it, but that's what he asked.
It's not just Coach Crean's substitution patterns, folks. Somewhere in the days of Rick Pitino 10 years ago, 15, 12 years ago, some NBA guys, there became this theory that every 4 minutes, every 5 minutes, you wholesale sub. Doesn't matter. You put in walk-ons, you just sub. And that, I think this theory is, well, we're going to play so hard for the 4 minutes we're in there that we need to give them a break so they can come back and we'll be strong at the end of the game. I'm even seeing this on the high school level. This is absurd. Listen to me. Go out and if you're a coach listening and you don't like what I'm saying, I'm sorry. Think about what you're saying. 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old young men or women in the best shape of their life can't go hard for 8 minutes, can't go hard for 12 minutes. When they hit 4 and 5 shots in a row, you guys are subbing them out. When they just make 3 great plays in a row, you guys are got momentum. You're subbing momentum off the floor. You've got to be kidding me. If your guys are getting that tired, then you need to relook at your practices. If your guys can't sustain themselves for 6 and 7 minutes with foul calls and timeouts throughout the game, TV timeouts, and 15 seconds later, a team timeout, you've got to be kidding me. Why would you sub out 2 guys that are playing great ball, your team's on a roll, you're starting to catch the other team or you're starting to build a lead, and all of a sudden your assistant coach is subbing people in and out? Because you guys have sat down before the game and said, this is our substitution pattern. Coaches, listen to me. The reason you coach a game is not the same reason you coach in practice. You teach in practice, you develop in practice, you plan. But when you coach the game as the head coach, you are now getting a sense and feeling of all the work that you did during the week, all the film you watched, all the things you're seeing. You're using your sense of your players, of your team, of the runs you're on, of the adjustments you make, of the next play you're going to run, of the defense you're going to switch out of. But when your guys are hot, are you telling me at 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21 years of age, you can't keep that guy on the floor for 2 more minutes? You got to be kidding me. If it's a foul situation, I understand. But are you telling me that the assistant coach has been given the authority to sub guys out as time expires throughout the game? Come on, head coaches, especially on a college level. You're getting paid $2, $3, $4 million. Your kids bust their butt every day in practice. I know you want to get some other guys in for experience as the year goes on, but you are hurting yourselves in games when you are subbing out your players who are hot. Your momentum is being lost, and you're asking for other guys to come in and give you the same level of play that you just took out of the game, not because of fouls, not because of mistakes, but because, it's been 4 minutes and 30 seconds. It's the substitution pattern. And I'm seeing this on the high school level, and I got to tell some of these coaches, your teams aren't good enough to sub out on the high school level like that. They're just not. So, Joe, I don't know if that answers the question, but it sure makes me feel a little bit better getting that off my chest.
Yes, it does, and I'd like to tell people we've got about 15 seconds of our live broadcast. You can listen to the rest of the Coach K and Joe Show on podcast at www.coachkandjoeshow.com about a half hour after the show is over. Coach, high school basketball.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the games. We've got Dubois at Jasper, correct?
Yes, homecoming for the Wildcats.
And that's a county rivalry. Dubois is not playing real well right now. I think they got a couple of big guys, Joe, but they struggle at the guard spot. But I think Jasper has a great chance of bouncing back, playing well in this game, especially at home. Keep your good players on the floor because Dubois struggles handling the ball, and I think that game becomes Jasper's advantage. And Coach Friedman does a great job, but sometimes, if you got big guys but you can't get the ball off the court and get it to them consistently, it kind of negates the size. You know what I mean, Joe?
Yeah, and they gotta have a big game tonight. They got because they've got a really tough one tomorrow night. They head down to New Albany. I know you mentioned them as one of the top teams in Southern Indiana. They sit at 9-3, and their losses have been to Cordon Central, Castle, and Evansville Harrison. So they've got there's no slouches there that they've lost to.
Yeah, and Cordon's gotten votes in the IBCA top 20 polls. So you're right. There's no slouches. New Albany is always a traditionally strong program. They've had some down years here in the last 10 years, though. I know that. They seem to be playing pretty well right now. And, Joe, you've been through it. You've been there. You in high school and followed on the road. New Albany is a tough place to play basketball.
Yeah, whenever you go to New Albany, you're going to be in for a dogfight. And they have a great program and traditionally strong in Southern Indiana, not just Southern Indiana. They've had a lot of success statewide, and it's going to be a big one for them.
Yeah, I mean, it really is a measuring stick as you go into February where your team ranks as far as their ability to play against the better teams in a hostile environment. A good friend of ours, Hall of Fame broadcaster Walt Ferber, is a New Albany Bulldog alumni, so he'll be doing that game. But Jasper has a chance to play well tonight and then go down and give it their best shot against New Albany. Vincennes Lincoln will host Harrison. Harrison's got a nice club. They played a tough schedule. They've got good players, but they're still trying to find a low-post identity. Vincennes Lincoln has dropped a couple games here as of late, showed a little chink in their armor, but they are very, very capable under Coach Hine of playing well, and they've got to be looked at, as far as the Washington sectional is concerned, as a favorite. Princeton, who is playing pretty well, a Big 8 team that Jasper will have to play in a week, couple weeks, I guess, will be at Memorial. And Memorial, for me, Joe, in Evansville, is a dark horse team. They are currently, I believe they have 3 losses on the season, and I apologize for not being able to pull their record up. Yeah, here it is. Memorial is 8-3 right now. Everhard, Auker lead that team. They have a nice group. They're very capable of losing the game, but the thing that I say about Memorial is they're very capable of beating anyone on their schedule. And you can say, well, Coach K, anybody's capable of beating anyone. No, they're not. No, they're not. 9 times out of 10, they're not. What I'm saying is that Evansville Memorial has a good enough team, talent-wise, they're fundamentally sound, and talent-wise, to go out and win any game that they go into. Modern Day playing very, very well right now. They're at Heritage Hills. Modern Day started out, I think, 1-4, 1-5, and they are on a big win streak right now. They're 7-5, which means they've won 6 out of their last 7 games. They're 7-5, and they take on Heritage Hills, and Heritage Hills, of course, 10-2 on the season, one of the top teams in Southern Indiana, and they're out of the Pocket Athletic Conference. So, Joe, Matt Sisley and his gang, they're another team that I believe feeds into that Washington sectional.
Yes, you've got Washington, you've got Heritage Hills, you've got Southridge, who's had an unbelievable weekend last weekend, starting to really you know, play up to their potential. You've got Vin Sins. You've got Jasper, who's beat a, I think 3-0 against teams from the sectional. And it's going to be a good tournament, and I love it because it's at Huntingburg Memorial Gym, and I know you and I have seen many special games at Huntingburg Memorial Gym, and I'll tell you what, just to plug Milling Communications Jasper today real fast, February 15th we're going to be coming out with our special basketball issue, and some of the things we have in store, we also list some of our favorite games we've seen in Huntingburg Memorial Gym, and it's just a special place, and there's something about being in there. Usually you don't like facilities of other schools, but there's just something special about Huntingburg Memorial Gym for those of us who attended those Southridge sectionals back in the single class era.
Yeah, and as we get closer to sectional, we'll talk about, and I do want to apologize. I said the Washington sectional. I forgot that they alternate those two sites, and it is at Southridge, and that makes it really exciting. Heritage Hills doesn't have as far to go. Jasper doesn't have as far to go. Vincent has a little farther to come, a little further to come, and it makes for a good team, a good tournament. And I will say, Joe, and you made a great point. You know, for the Jasper fans who may be saying, you know, we're not very good. Well, I don't know if you're good or not. I mean, you have beat Vincent's Lincoln, and you have beat Southridge. Southridge is 9-4. Vincent's, of course, has a pretty solid team. They're 11-4. You have beat two of the main teams that feed in to that tournament site. You've got Heritage Hills coming up. And, Joe, I did have that on my list. Why don't you give Jasper Today, Jasper Online, Jasper Today Online, I guess it is, another plug, a little slower plug, so people will go to that site and be ready to look at your sectional edition or Jasper basketball edition when it comes up.
Well, it's you can access it by going to jaspertodayonline.com, and you click on the magazine cover, and it will take you to the online magazine. We feature audio. We feature video. Some of the highlights of the issue coming up are video class that's ran by Elvin Elrod at Jasper did something with Mike Ballinger when he was home, and they won second place at a contest for video editing, and we're going to have that. We're also going to be having a special roundtable that Coach K will be hosting with his father, Coach Ed Schulteis, Kevin Manley, Slick Weber, a couple other players if they can make it, and they're going to talk about the 1972 season, which was a very special season. And we're also going to have a story with Bob White, 1949. Played for the Jasper Wildcats state final team, led them to the state finals. And there's going to be all kinds of great things in there. And, we're putting out, that will be our 18th issue we've put out. And it just keeps growing and growing. And, you know, if you like Jasper, you got to be looking at Jasper Today, because it's all about what's good about Jasper and the people inside it, and also the people that have moved away.
It is a good online publication. It's a great place for people to be able to go and keep up on what's going on in and around Jasper and DuBois County. And Joe, you do a really good job with that. Joe, I think you also mentioned, and I can't wait till we get permission to do this, there is a gentleman that is still living from the played on the 1930s or Jasper basketball team that went to the state tournament, I believe you mentioned to me, and we talked about possibly getting a chance to go in and talk to him a little bit.
Yes, he's currently at the Providence home in Jasper, and he's we're waiting for permission from his family to be able to do that. And if we get permission, we will definitely be doing something with that, because, you know, those players from the 1930s and 1940s, you know, they're leaving us fast, and we've got to take advantage and lock into our Jasper basketball history. And Slick Weber's been great about giving me information. And I'll tell you what, Coach, we also had on Facebook, we're also conducting a little contest. You know, top players, top games, top moments of Jasper basketball, and Rick Schulteis got a vote, so he will be the all-time greatest student manager in Jasper basketball history. Sorry, Wig. Sorry, Gar. You know, we're going to have to go with Rick. But, you know, it's been fun because I've been learning so much about Jasper basketball by starting that thread because, you know, it's branched off to different games from the past that, you know, that, you know, you might have been there because even though you were young, you probably were there. But, you know, things that I didn't know, and it's always neat to find out about, you know, the folklore of Jasper basketball and you know, just any kind of basketball. I mean, you know, not just Jasper. If, you know, if I had a magazine in Huntingburg, it would be fun to find out the past of Huntingburg Southridge basketball. I mean, that's things that, you know, as people leave us, you know, it's gone. The history's gone. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to document as much of that as possible so it's not just here for Jasper Today's magazine on February 15th, but it'll be something that people will be able to look at for years to come and learn about from word of mouth from the people that live those moments. So we're pretty
well
excited.
I think it's a lot of fun, and again, it's people looking back during their time and who they remember and who stands out. I know I have not sent my team in. I know one of the players for me is going to be John Schulteis, my younger brother. I think he led the county in scoring 2 years in a row. Outstanding player, as well as an outstanding baseball pitcher. But actually, Joe, what I could do is I could put in my all-time team as John Schulteis, Jim Schulteis, Ken Schulteis, Don Schulteis, and Eddie Schulteis, who only played a couple years, but I could have an all-time five made up of the Schulteis brothers, and we could put
the
five on
be-
on the court.
And
we
could be Ed Schulteis,
yeah.
And Rick, Rick's the student manager, and you know, hey, we've got it. We've got there. We go.
And my brother
Tom
was the student manager
for
4 years. So, and listen, we could play D, we could shoot, we could handle the ball, we could communicate. We might struggle on the boards a little bit. We might have to find Farouk and add him to our top six. But, it might be John Schulteis, Jimmy Schulteis, out of the class of 76 or 75, 76, I think, Eddie Schulteis out of 77, Don Schulteis out of 82, and Ken Schulteis out of 81, and, of course, John out of 83, as I mentioned earlier. That could be my all-time team. I think we'd win some games.
Yeah. I list my top five games in the sectional, and just take one guess what's number one on my list.
I hope it's 1981.
Oh, yeah, 1981 sectional final. I mean, and, you know, I've been debating I haven't finished it up yet, and I've been debating, you know, I don't want to sound like a 1981 homer, but that Dubois game was a pretty special game, too. If you don't win that, there is no Southridge final against Jasper.
Yeah, our outstanding player, Mike Ballinger, fouled out, and they called on a young senior to come off the bench and give the Cats a lift. And he certainly did with working with Mike Berger and Dean Murder and Mike Stewart and those guys on the floor. That guy they brought in off the bench to help the Cats come back from about a 10-point deficit with Mike Ballinger fouled out on the floor in the fourth quarter. Ken Schulteis did a nice job.
Yeah, you did. You did, because I think I remember you hitting a big shot, and I remember sitting by Luke Holes and Jay Bird Loy, and I think we all yelled no before we yelled yes.
That was in the championship
game. Okay.
In the Dubois game, I had a couple of big free throws and a couple of steals that were critical. And you right now somebody when they listen to this on podcast are saying, gosh dang, Coach K, 1981, come on. I'm not living in the past. I just love joking about it. We had a lot of fun growing up in the Jasper community and being a part of high school sports. And when we weren't playing, Joe, we had a lot of fun cheering our classmates on. That's the thing that I hope young people see today. You see it in college. But you'd love to see it continue in high school. Just because you're not playing a sport, get out there and cheer for your classmates because it's a lot of fun to create your identity in the stands as well.
Oh, yeah. I remember being at a tennis semi-state where our group of friends were warned about all the cheering because I guess you couldn't chant names and stuff like that at a tennis match. But, you know, it didn't matter what it was, and, you know, we were there to support each other, and it was fun doing it. And that's what I think some kids now lose out on. Go out and have fun and support it and have a blast. I mean, you know, the football games, the tennis matches, the baseball games, the basketball games, wrestling matches, you know, it cross-country meets. Our listeners may not know this. My wife's the study hall teacher at Jasper, and I asked her one day, I said, do you have a Pup Holes in your class? Luke Pup Holes being a classmate of ours. And she just looked at me and she goes, there'll never be anyone like Luke Holes. And then she also then took a second and said, wait a minute, there's never going to be anybody ever like your class at Jasper. And I hate to brag, but I felt like we were a unique bunch. So, but there's no reason why we can't be matched.
Well, unique or not, we had a lot of fun. Before we end this podcast, and I call it the podcast because you can't listen to this part live, I do want to give a shout-out to DJ Ballantyne and the Evansville Aces. Now, the Aces are still struggling, but they're playing a little better. They did go to Northern Iowa. They got beat 95-81. But sophomore DJ Ballantyne from Kokomo, I believe, Kokomo, Indiana, originally scored 43 points in the loss to Bradley or to Northern Iowa. 43 points. Folks, I've seen 40-plus points scored before, and it's tough to do. So you got to hit your free throws, which he did. You got to hit your twos and your threes, which he did. He had a great game. It wasn't a losing effort. U of E is 10-12 overall, 3-6 in the NBC. Again, Wichita State is still undefeated, which is, wow, that's something. They are in a Missouri Valley Conference that does not have Creighton in it. And, Joe, I got to tell you, I think this Doug McDermott may be basketball player of the year for Creighton.
Yeah, he's a great talent.
Yeah, he really is. I want to thank our sponsors, Idea Fusion Media, Milligan Communications, Harmon Dental, and Ubelor & Sons, Janet Schultheis, Edward Jones here in Evansville. We appreciate your support. And, Joe, unless you got something else, I'm ready to go.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, I'll end the show like I always do, inviting people. You know, there's a lot of great basketball going to be played, boys and girls, this weekend. And if you get a chance, go out and support your favorite team for the cost of the ticket, $5 maybe. I mean, there's just no better entertainment. So for Coach K, I'm Joe Milligan saying we'll see you next week on the Coach K and Joe Show.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Ubelor & Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. See you next week.